So I want to start out the sermon today with a song. Okay? How many of you know the old Sunday school classic, "I've Got the Joy, 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 Joy Got in My Heart"? Some of you? Maybe? Alright, I'm going to turn my mic off to help sing this. Okay, so let's see if we can sing a little of it together, ready? Just that first verse. "I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart." Okay, thank you. Now, I need a couple of volunteers that I know can have really stoic, stony, cold, sour looks on their faces. Oh, Karis, I knew you were going to be over. Okay. Come on down. You too? All right, come on down. Excellent. Okay, all right. Anybody else? Anybody else not feeling joy? All right. All right, all right. So now, we're going to sing this again. No smiles, no happiness. Let me see the crankiest, nastiest "you woke me up too early" on Sunday morning gags. All right. So, here we go. Ready? "I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. You've been
wow, pretty stone cold.
Happy. So very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy. So very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart."
I'm going to pray for your soul.
Woo!
All right. Thank you. You can head back to your seats. Excellent. Okay.
Yeah, that was pretty tough, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it's tough to sing that, right? Joy, joy down in my heart. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. You know, it's perhaps easy to come to church and be able to sing that and say that, but there's plenty of times during the week when I really don't feel that way. I don't know about you. You know, the next verse of that song is, "I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart." That's kind of the reason for the joy in our hearts. We got that peace that passes understanding. God doesn't say, "I'm going to deliver you from everything that happens in your life." Stuff is still going to happen, just like it happens to everybody else. But we get to go through it with the Lord that gives us the joy, that gives us the peace that passes understanding. And then the last verse of that song is kind of a tongue twister. You know that one? "I got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart." Right? Yeah, you know it. Yeah, sure. "The wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart." Right, so that's the reason for the peace, which is the reason for the joy that we have in life. What on earth does that have to do with scriptures today? Scriptures today were so edgy, talking about life and death and sin and good and evil and all these stark contrasts of making choices. You know, in reading all these scriptures, I was thinking about the throes of raising children and how, you know, I don't always succeed at it, but I try to not respond viscerally to my kids and be like, "You little idiot, go to your room. We'll talk about this later." You know, I try more to be, okay, well, this is the choice that you made. And so here's the consequence of your choice. Have fun with that, you know. Or, "I'm really proud of you. Look at the choice you made. You could have done this, but instead you did this. Have an ice cream cone." Or, you know, whatever. But life being about choices and about the natural consequences of those choices in the scriptures today talk about that with us and how God sets before us death and life and basically pleads with us to choose life, for crying out loud. You know, He's telling us what our choices will lead to. Some will end in death. Some will end in life. And he makes it really clear and cut and dry. There's not a lot of gray area in the scriptures today.
So there's a short little funny story about a person who was recently licensed as a pilot. Anybody here a pilot? Oh, really? I never knew that. It's good to know. Okay.
Not practicing.
Not practicing? Okay, fair enough. He wasn't really experienced with instrument landings, okay, coming in under instrument conditions and that kind of thing. And he started to get kind of panicky as he was coming in on final approach. And he was telling the controller this, and the controller could hear the panic rising in his voice. And the controller says, "You just obey instructions. We'll take care of the obstructions." So basically, you don't have to see everything. We know where they are, and we know where you are, and we know how to get you in. If you follow what we're telling you to do, it's going to be fine. You know, and the scriptures today are kind of like that for us. We don't necessarily have to understand everything. In fact, if we understood everything, we kind of would be God and not worshipers of God. Okay? And so someday we're going to know all this stuff. Someday we're going to have it all in hand. But for right now, God requires us to trust him and say, hey, you know what? This leads to death. Don't even dabble in that. Don't stick one toe in that water. I want you to have joy. I want you to have life. I want you to walk in my love and my peace. And he says, so go this way. Don't even look at this. These are my instructions for life. Don't mess around over here. And so this got me thinking about, you know, the idea that when people find out that we're Christian or a follower of Christ, sometimes there's this misconception that life stinks as a Christian. You know, you can't have any fun. Everything is a pain in the neck. It's all about self-sacrifice, self-denial, self-martyrdom. And then all of a sudden it starts to feel like, you know, we're gaining our salvation by giving up everything that the world enjoys. By our works, we're gaining salvation. And it kind of gives the impression that God is this divine killjoy. You know, I once had a preacher say to me, don't drink, smoke, chew, or go with women that do. Sorry, God, that's stuck in your brain forever. So, yeah, catchy, right? Yeah, set it to music. So what's the attraction to the Christian life? What's the attraction to following Christ? So many of the things that the world counts as pleasures end up leading us down this path where we're making a choice to walk away from God. What are the pleasures found in Christ? What are the joys found in Christ? Why do we have joy in following Christ? Or are we the kind of follower of Christ that walks around through the day kind of keeping the same face that my daughter had up here, which she kept so well? I love Jesus. Really, I do. Don't you want to follow him? So I wanted to share with you just a few reasons to have joy as followers of Christ. Joy in keeping God's commands. Joy in observing his precepts. Many of them are found in the Psalms. If you follow along in Psalms and read, you will find tons of verses about joy. And we're going to get to that at the end of the message today, too. My mic's not on? Am I not being loud enough?
No, how about now? Okay, all right, fair enough. I always hate the way my voice sounds when it's amplified. But maybe you can hear me better. So, those who trust in God find great joy in him. In Psalm 5:11, it says, "But all who take shelter in you will find happiness. May they continually shout for joy. Shelter them so that those who are loyal to you may rejoice." So, finding joy in the shelter of God, walking through life with God, starting your day with God, instead of starting the day going, oh, I have to do this. It's the day before the storm. I have to go to Market Basket. We all know what that's going to be like. You know, it's finding joy in that journey of the day ahead. Psalm 16:11 says, "You lead me in the path of life. I experience absolute joy in your presence. You always give me sheer delight." When's the last time you had sheer delight? I think it might have been when I had the flourless chocolate cake at Black Rock. That was sheer, no. But you get the idea. When did you experience sheer delight? When did you last have that? If you haven't experienced that in a while, seek the presence of God. You won't be disappointed. How about joy in worship? Psalm 84, 1 and 2. I desperately want to be in the courts of the Lord's temple. My heart and my entire being shout for joy to the living God. Worshiping God, finding joy in worshiping the Lord. Have you ever been in a time of worship maybe that went a little bit longer than was planned? You know, I can remember going to church over in Rockingham, Vermont. Sometimes we would start with a few worship songs and finally the pastor would just give up and not even preach a sermon because people were worshiping and singing and whatnot, and that would go on pretty long. But it didn't seem like a long time because people were joyfully worshiping God. How about joy in God's Word? There's another place that we as followers of Christ can find joy in His Word. We talked a little bit about reading His Word last week and hopefully not having it be drudgery, but having it be something that we look forward to. Psalm 1, 1 to 2, it's a long passage, so I won't read it all, but it basically talks about finding pleasure in obeying the commands of the Lord. Blessed is the person that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. On His law, he meditates day and night and finds joy in the courts of the Lord and obeying His word. How about Psalm 119? We read a little of that today, but further on in the psalm, by the way, that's a really long one. We should read that one sometime. It says, I claim your rules as my permanent possessions, for they give me joy. Rules give us joy? What? What planet is the psalmist from? You know, in raising kids, or think back to when you were a kid, when you thought about the rules, it wasn't necessarily thinking about, yay, rules. It was rules, oppression. But that's not what God's rules are. God's rules lead us to life. When we follow our own rules, when we follow the rules of the culture, it's similar to going and finding a plate full of cookies in the middle of the road on the double yellow lines, right? There's pleasure out there, but you're going to get hit by a truck later, okay? Whereas God's rules bring us joy and bring us into relationship and into fullness with Him. So as we said before, none of these verses talk about taking away our problems completely. They don't talk about fixing everything for us and just making the way perfectly smooth. But it talks about having joy in the journey, no matter what may arise, no matter what may come up. One of the passages that I find a lot of joy in is in Romans chapter 8. And I invite you to grab your pew Bible ever so briefly and have a quick look at that. I left my Bible open. Pastor's having us turn in the scriptures. There it goes. No. So Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 18. It says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed in us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So this is talking about down the road, when we are set free from the bonds of this mortal situation where we live and where we breathe and where we try to go through life. Our spirits are already in the kingdom of God, but our bodies are lagging behind. Just ask anybody who has stiff joints in the morning when they get up. I knelt down on the floor to put firewood in the fireplace the other day, and I went, my knees, they both popped, and my wife was like, wow, you're getting old. Like, yeah, you're right. Poor kids will do that to you. So, but no, my kids are a joy, I shouldn't say that. But
But that scripture in Romans helps us to understand that our past, our present, and our future are in the hands of the Lord. What a wonderful reason for joy, despite what may be happening in our lives. Personally, I find joy in knowing that my debt to God is paid. Okay, that's huge to me. I hate the weight of debt. Anybody ever had an auto loan or a mortgage or student loans that they finally paid off? Do you remember the feeling of, whoo, that was the last payment? Right? How about, whoo, Jesus paid that so I don't have to? What a gift. What a gift. I feel that in my life. I experience the joy of the Lord through peace in the midst of adversity. This is something that I've had to learn the hard way. I struggle with trusting God sometimes. I want to take control of situations and fix it. Sometimes I really can't. And I have to say, all right, have at. I'm done. Stick a fork in me. This has got to be yours now, not me. I can't possibly do it. So I wish that I could get to that point before I try to take control of the situation. That would be better. But when I do finally, as the cliche phrase goes, let go and let God, it's amazing how he comes in underneath and buoys us up. So, what kills joy? What kills our joy? In my life, what kills joy for me is guilt about the past. Okay? Everybody has a past. I have a past. I won't get into it too deeply. But sometimes, if I get thinking about it, I can experience guilt about it. And you know, if I've dealt with that with the Lord, Scripture says, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Guilt is somebody else saying, look what you did, you're not worthy, and that's not God. I'll let you guess who, okay? Also, what kills joy is pain and worry in the present. And then also, worry or fear about the future. You know, what if something happens? What if the economy crashes? What if the house burns down and no one's home to save the pets? You know, any number of worries and things like that. But here's the life-changing promise. And this is the verse that has really helped me and applied a lot in my life. And I submit it to you. It's John 10:10. It says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. This is Jesus speaking. But I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So test it out. When you feel your joy of following Christ being sapped, look at the source and consider where that's coming from. Is it pain? Is it worry? Is it guilt? Is it fear? And remember, Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Does it fit in that category? Is it killing you? Is it killing your joy? Is it killing your trust? Is it stealing from you? Is it stealing your peace? Is it destroying your walk with the Lord and your faith in Him? Then it's not from God. Turn to the Scriptures. Pray. Invite the Lord into that situation and say, I'm struggling with this right now. God already knows you're struggling with it. He wants you to turn to Him and trust Him with that. No better place to go than the Scriptures. And if you're not sure where in the 66 books, go somewhere in the Psalms and ask the Lord to lead you. That's a beautiful spot to begin. Jesus came that we would have life and have it abundantly. So as followers of Christ, we can really and truly experience true and absolute joy because we have nothing to regret and we have everything to look forward to. So I have a little gift for you for the snow day that we're going to have tonight and tomorrow. Because I know you all had plans which are being interrupted by the snow. So you might have time when you're sitting in front of your fireplace watching the snow fall. Skip's like, yeah, right. Watching the snow fall. In here, in this basket, are lots and lots of verses from the Bible about joy.
And so I'd love for you, on your way out today, to take one. And then just find even 2 minutes in the next 24 to 36 hours to read this scripture. Maybe find it in your Bible and read the verse before it and the verse after it. And see if the Lord won't use it to speak to you in your life. So it's going to be at the back here on your way down the stairs. So let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the joy that it is to follow you. We pray that you would forgive us for the ways in which we allow other things to ride in on that joy and steal it from us. The stresses and pressures of the world are things that rise up and seem really big to us, but which to you are no big deal. Lord, help us to submit those things to you, to give you our fears and our worries and our pain, and be able to realize that you did come that we would have abundant life, not just in eternity, but with you here as well in our mortal bodies today. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.